Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're having a little dialogue and discussion of relationships. If you want to call the broadcast today, give it a title for the issue of the day. Elections count. Elections count. And they really do. And we're going to have a number of issues on the ballot November 3rd of this year. And we'll talk about them more and more as the days and weeks come and go. Some of those being major issues on amendments for our Constitution. We're destroying our Florida State Constitution with amendments that once they're put there, they cannot be reversed. They usually are not. And since 1970, the state of Florida, we've had 127 amendments to our Constitution, state Constitution. And yet from the origin of our federal Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, we've had only 27 amendments. That'll give you a good idea of what we're faced with, and multitudes of those ballot initiatives will be on the November ballot. But some of the things that affect local school board operation and how we carry out the work of the school board in Duval County, we just introduced that a moment ago before our top of the hour news break, but there's a bill that is House Bill 1079. House Bill 1079, and this, I'm reading right from the bill, the House Bill 1079, an act relating to City of Jacksonville, Duval County, amending Charter 92-341, Laws of Florida, and amended, providing specific term limits for the superintendent. Goes then in Article 13 of the Charter, Duval County School Board, Section 13.07, school superintendent's two-term limits shall be, the superintendent of the school shall be elected for a term of 4 years. The initial term of the elected superintendent shall begin the 2020 general election. Referendum A of the qualified sectors residing in Duval County shall be held on November 3rd, 2020. The 2020 general election is to determine whether this act shall become effective. It's not a lengthy bill. I think it's 5 pages in total length, but the bill was introduced by Jason Fisher. Jason Fisher is a state of Florida House of Representatives member, a former school board member, and he feels that we need to have an elected school superintendent, and that'll be on the ballot for this November the 3rd for we the people to make a decision on. And ladies and gentlemen, we're discussing this with Don Redmond. Don is the candidate for District 3 of the school board for Duval County. Don, what do you think about that bill? Tell me the pros and the cons. What's good, what's bad, what's ineffective, and what's effective with it? Should we have an elected school board superintendent?
As of now, I don't think we should have an elected school board superintendent. At one time, I was in favor of that. It would be nice to have somebody local that knows Jacksonville, that knows the history of Duval County schools, and is familiar with what goes on there. But to have an elected superintendent, you'd have somebody that would be campaigning half the time that they were in office. They would be subject to the people that help them get in office. So, you know, I think it would take away from their job as a superintendent. I think what we really need to do is elect good school board members that would choose the proper superintendent for Duval County.
All right, let's put that thought on hold for a minute, Brother Don, and let's analyze, let's play the devil's advocate for a moment. For the last three school board superintendents, we've had to cancel the contract, write them a big healthy check to get them out of town, and to replace them. And I have found in each replacement process, it was what I call a smoke and mirrors room full of people that are political hacks in making that decision, and then telling the school board these are the ones we need to hire, and we wind up hiring them. I am not adamantly opposed, per se, to an appointed school board superintendent, but I am of the belief that we as the people, we the people, need to have a voice in who goes into each office that rules over any segment of our society, whether it be the city, state, or the county, or the nation. And so as a result of that, I'm weighing it in my mind, and because I've seen basically in about 40 years that I've been in Jacksonville, I've seen some good school board superintendents, and I've seen some wretched school board superintendents, and for the past three, maybe even four, we've had major problems and had to basically buy their contracts out at the rate of hundreds of thousands of dollars to get them out of town. So that's my major concern. And the second thing being, if they are not elected, we the people do not have a voice in it. It's simply a group of people. Let's just make some assumptions before it stands right now. You mentioned earlier that we've got 7 school board members now, only one of them conservative. If the appointment of a school board superintendent is based on the 6 non-conservative members, what kind of school board superintendent would be appointed?
You would get a non-conservative school board.
That's right.
Superintendent. But, you know, that's why we need to really concentrate on electing conservative school board members. I meet with the superintendent once a month as an area school advisory chairman, and meet with we have school advisory chairman all over for every part of town, every school district. And we all meet with the superintendent every month and with school board members. And, you're right. We've had some pretty sorry superintendents.
Wretched ones.
And I've talked to school board members and tried to convince them that, hey, this person is not right for the job. This, and, you know, if you study what they're looking at, you'll – and they hire a company that goes out and makes these choices and brings in –
recommendation.
Few people for them to make and usually they're from out of town.
They're from out of town.
I mean, I really think
paid
that they should search extremely hard to find some local person, some local qualified person to be superintendent of our schools. Mm-hmm. I can remember when, Herb saying we used to have elected superintendents.
Right.
And I thought it worked pretty good.
Yes.
So, I'm still
judging
there.
It.
I'm still judging it. I'm against it. I know our mayor is behind the idea of an elected superintendent.
He's behind it. In fact, Brother Don, if I can do this for the benefit of our listeners, when this first hit the fan back in, I believe it's early September, early October of last year, when Jason Fisher started promulgating some thoughts and ideas before he introduced the legislation. Before the legislation was introduced, he was simply going to make the recommendation and he had made the recommendation that the mayor appoint all of the school board members, mm-hmm. and that we continue with an appointed school board superintendent.
Right.
And then it was changed when it was determined that it did not meet the requirements generally of the city charter. And this, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, House Bill 1079, literally the design purpose of the bill, it's setting forth the superintendent of the schools of Duval County would be elected as of the 2022 election cycle, that year that a school board superintendent would be elected. But what it does, it changes the city charter. The city charter presently does not call for an elected school board superintendent. So, Brother Don, it would change the city charter. And I'm of the opinion, it's just me, and I've not missed an election since I registered to vote less than 100 years ago, and I have not missed a local, state, or federal election since I registered to vote. And I'm just a firm advocate for we the people making the decision at the ballot box for every position possible that we have that's ruling over us, as I call it, as far as the leadership role. And so for that reason, I'm for an elected position. And I was personally, I thought it was fascinating to see. This is an article that says Bill would set terms in Duval County Superintendent become elected position if the Duval County Superintendent position become elected. Legislation introduced by Representative Jason Fisher seeks to create term limits if the school board superintendent becomes an elected position. The legislation filed on Friday, House Bill 1079, calls for the terms of 4 years. It also states that any person elected to the position of superintendent will be limited to only 2 terms. That means 8 years. And then here's a follow-up article to that, Brother Don. Mayor Curry, colon, this is the title. Keep elected school board. Also wants elected superintendent. Jacksonville chief executive not backing the move by State Representative Jason Fisher. A week after a state lawmaker proposed changing Duval County School Board members from being elected by the people to being appointed by the Jacksonville mayor, the mayor said he was opposed to the idea. And I was delighted to see that because I think a fiasco would take place, whether it's this mayor or future mayors, if the school board is appointed by the mayor, where the mayor makes the decision for all seven positions. The article further says the school board would exist how it now does. The members would be elected by the constituents, Curry said Tuesday afternoon. What you would change is you would have the board chair, which would be elected by the people of Jacksonville, elected at large by the entire county. He's advocating, the mayor is advocating, Brother Don, that not only the seven school board members be elected by the citizens of Duval County, but there be a designated person that's running for the position of school board chair, the chairman of the school board. Now, the article further says, and would have a superintendent that would be elected by the entire county. I would suggest this decision would be made by the people themselves, and that is the present position of the mayor. That is not the present position of the House Bill 1079. It's just dealing with the school board superintendent. But the mayor game goes further, that the chairman of that needs to be elected by the people. Just as you find with, and you're familiar with the city council, where you have the council at large, where they are elected for the position of council at large. This would be a very similar position, where that the school board chairman, not picked by the school board members, but picked by the voters for Duval County. Now, I realize that that is not an issue that is a ballot issue at this point. That was simply the mayor's position on that. But the question that we need to ask and answer and be decisive on in relationship to it before the November election is, what are we going to do about that? Because that'll be on the ballot. How do we respond? Now, I read the statistics on that, and as a vote online, where a person can go online and punch the button. And for those that are wanting an elected school board superintendent, as of, today is Monday, as of less than a week ago, about Thursday, I believe it was, if my memory is correct, as of about last Thursday, 26% say they want an elected school board superintendent, and 63% say they want an appointed school board superintendent. So if you go by any polls or what is being done now online, that's the status of it online. Brother Don, let's switch gears for just a moment. President Donald Trump has just ordered that the Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos, mandate, he's ordered now the U.S. Department of Education, that Betsy DeVos, on behalf of the U.S. Department of Education, send out notices mandating that every state school board and then every state school board mandate to the local school boards that prayer be allowed in the public classrooms. Tell us your position on that. What do you think? Is this good? Is this bad? Is it good policy? Is it something that we ought to do as a nation? What are your thoughts on that? It's done by the president, but I just want your thoughts on it for the benefit of our listeners.
Oh, I support that wholeheartedly. I think that we should have the Pledge of Allegiance. I think we should have prayer in our classrooms. I'm proud of our president for taking a stand and
absolutely
and supporting the Christian community in the ways that he does. And I think this would be a good thing for our schools. Yes.
Giant step forward. It puts us back where we were before the Obama administration basically outlawed everything called good and godliness in the public school classroom.
Yes.
Here's the article that highlights it. Of course, I've got several articles that I've read on this issue. President Trump issues guidelines asserting students' right to pray in the public schools. Quote, "We will not let anyone push God from the public square," President Trump said. This was January the 17th, just a few days ago. President Trump to issue new guidelines on the right to pray in public schools. President Donald Trump is set to issue new guidelines on Thursday, which has already been done last Thursday, asserting the First Amendment right of the students to pray in public schools. President Donald J. Trump issued new guidelines on Thursday, asserting that the First Amendment right for students to pray in public schools across the United States of America. Quote, "We will not let anyone push God from the public square," end quote, Trump said Thursday afternoon, speaking from the Oval Office on the National Religious Day, Freedom Day. We, quote, he says, "We will uphold religious liberty," and he says, "for all, and I want to thank you all for being here." That was the group that was in his Oval Office. President Trump said the directive is a way for the administration to safeguard every student's religious freedom rights. Further, he says, "We call this the right to pray," he said, adding, "There's nothing more important than the right to pray in the classroom," according to President Donald J. Trump.
I agree.
And by the way, inextricably linked to that, and I'm in favor of that now, just for bounding about pros and cons. Do you realize in that Oval Office statement and order, he had representatives from the Christian faith, the Jewish faith, and the Islamic faith. And when he says right to pray for all religious, I don't know about you, but I'm for it 100%. But yet there's the thought in my mind, what do you do when an Islamic student wants to jump up and go pray five times a day? And part of his five times a day happens to be in classroom time.
Well, I would have a problem with that, yes. Mm-hmm. I think that could create a disturbance in the class. For one thing, I am of the belief that we are a Christian nation. I believe that I support other, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. People have a right to whatever religion that they choose.
Well, I've always said, Brother Don, if a person wants to choose to worship all and die and go to hell, that's their prerogative.
Well, I agree.
I'm not arguing with them. I never will forget, of course, someone in the city council back years ago when you were there referred to you as Dr. No, and you and another conservative Christian councilman, because I never will forget when Parvez Ahmed was there, and he was before the city council, and you asked him to pray.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, you would have thought the world was coming to an end because some of the rank liberals thought that was wrong to ask him to pray.
I did that because they were asking me to quit as a chaplain of the city council at the time. They were asking me to quit praying in Jesus' name. So I wanted people to know that I have no problem with somebody praying in whatever religion or whoever they're going to pray to, whatever God they want to pray to. But don't ask me not to pray to my God when I pray.
Amen.
And I fought this battle on the city council. ACLU threatened to sue me for praying in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't quit. They didn't sue. But the problem is so many people give in to a push by, you know, the ACLU, whether it be any atheist group or whatever. If you give in to them, they've won the battle.
They've won the battle.
Yeah.
And that goes back to or brings me to another real important issue. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We invite your dialogue and discussion. We're interviewing today on this Let's Face the Issues broadcast. We're interviewing Brother Don Redman. Don is a Christian businessman running for District 3 of the school board here in DeVol County. And he has just informed us today, and I did not realize this. I knew that we had most of them were liberals. But out of the seven school board members, only one is currently there that's a conservative. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to change that, and we need to change it this year in the November 3rd election. We need to do so by electing Christian businessmen in the positions that are open, whether it be school board, city council, or on the statewide or national level. We'll be talking about that more during the course of this election cycle as to what we need to do for the election. But ladies and gentlemen, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. I'd love to hear from you. What are your interests in the school board? What are some of the questions that you would like for Brother Don to answer? Don Redman, District 3, candidate for District 3 of the DeVol County School Board. So give us a call. Let us hear from you. I'd love to hear your dialogue and input. Brother Don, there's a very sensitive yet very serious issue that is kept as low profile in DeVol County Board of Education. And I've read Dr. Green and her statement on this in relationship to the LGBTQ and her position on what took place down at Nice High School and what is now a federal case in relationship to the sodomites having an opportunity, a privilege of a person in transition. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's so antithetical to my thinking. That's so antithetical to the Word of God. That's so in opposition to anything that God created that it's hard for me to even say it. But nevertheless, there are those that claim to be in transition, and as such, they want to be able to go to the bathroom of their choice. That means boys and girls' bathrooms or girls and boys' bathrooms in the public school system. And right now in Duval County, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. If you question this, research it on the school board's website. If you question it further, call the school board superintendent and ask her. And the fact is, Brother Don, that in Duval County Public Schools, as we speak at this moment, a sodomite, one that's supposedly in transition, one that supposedly has a sexual identity other than his genitalia, as he was created with, feels that he has the right to go to the bathroom of his choice, which would be the opposite sex bathroom, and that's being approved by the present school board superintendent in Duval County. And it's her position that that is the right thing to do. And that is the major thing that's covered on the pages on the school board's website about harassment. This is an article on that, dated December the 5th, 2019. Court to consider bathroom use by a transgender student. A student has the right to use bathrooms and corresponds with his general identity, a lawyer told federal court Thursday, arguing that the issue is about the right of transgender students to equal dignity. But the Florida school districts that's appealing the lower court order in favor of transgender boy told three judges on the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals that they should overturn the ruling and let the school district restrict students to the bathroom matching their at birth sex to protect the privacy of other students. And ladies and gentlemen, this is born out of the case that involved Drew Adams, who has since graduated from Nice High School outside of Jacksonville. Adams transitioned to a girl from a girl to a boy before the freshman year and used the boys' bathroom at Ponte Vedra, Florida school for a few weeks before several girls complained. Administrators barred him from the boys' restroom, instead stared him toward the single-user gender-neutral bathroom. A lower court last year overturned that policy after a brief trial or a bench trial, ordering the St. Johns County School District to let Adams use the boys' restroom. And it goes further to talk about the 4th District Court ruled in the transgender Virginia student, et cetera, et cetera. This is a case, Brother Don, that's working its way through the courts that will ultimately be at the door of the Supreme Court. But I'm thankful that the state of Florida promulgated from the Nice High School event. They've challenged that, and they say that, okay, we'll have a special use private bathroom for these students that don't know that are sexually dysphoric, don't know what sex they are. And yet that is being challenged now in the appeals court, and I don't know the appeals court's decision on it, but I do know the present school board superintendent is in favor of doing exactly what they did not want to do in Nice County and in the Nice High School in Florida. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question and comment, please.
Yeah, just one comment and then one statement. Good morning.
Good morning.
These folks are commodians, you know that? They're commodians, and we should just flush them away. All right, all kidding aside, and it's not really kidding, but a little humor doesn't hurt, does it, Dr. Youngblood?
It does not at all. In fact, that kind of makes my day.
You know,
I might replicate that in the future.
You be my guest. You know, as far as praying in Jesus' name, Jesus in the Hebrews, Yeshua or Yehoshua, and Yehoshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. But actually, Jesus comes from the Grecianized form, Jesus. So the English form, Joshua, the Anointed One, Joshua, the Messiah. Joshua was the common name. So pray in the name of Joshua, the Anointed. That'll confuse them.
That would confuse them, but that would, and I know what you're saying from the word study. I have no problem with your word study, but what we're doing then is bowing to their demands. In fact, I say to every student, when you go to school, put your Bible on the top of the stack of your books, walk down the hallway, letting everybody know that you're not ashamed of Jesus Christ or the Word of God. I believe it's time that we come out of the closet in America, and I say that to every school student, whatever age. Let every student, let every teacher know that you're saved, and challenge anything publicly, openly in the classroom if it demeans or restricts your freedom of religion and your expression of biblical truth.
Right, and Jesus is the more common name, obviously. But many times I'll pray in the name of Joshua because, you know, I understand it somewhat. In any event, it just shows all these discussions how close we are to the end times being consummated, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Luke 21:28 is my favorite text. Look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I'm ready to be suddenly seized, snatched out. The term rapture is to be used. I'm ready to go, brother.
Yeah. Now that particular in Luke 21 you quoted, right? 21:9.
21:28.
Yeah, I see that as the church in heaven. The believers already at the marriage supper of the Lamb after the beam of judgment, and that has primary reference to those during Jacob's trouble, the Armageddon on earth in the context. But the application can be used.
Let me counter it just slightly for you. In the context of Luke 21:28, is talking about the future coming of the days of the tribulation and that leading up to it. And so prior to verse 28, it talks about all the things that's going to be taking place, men's hearts failing them for what's coming, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When you see these things coming, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. And we're in that day, we're in that time when we see these things coming. And when we see them coming, we need not worry, need not be anxious, but look up, lift up our heads, because our redemption, our sudden seizure, our sudden snatching away is at hand.
But, okay, amen, hallelujah and amen, two Hebrew words, hallelujah, praise Yah, and amen. So
amen.
Amen,
bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless you for your call. Right. Brother Don, we've got about a minute and a half left on the broadcast today, but I want us to talk for just a brief moment so that our listeners can understand your position. Of all of these things that we've bounded about, these things that are liberal issues, these things that are immoral issues, these things that are issues that ought to be handled by the school board, wrap up for us for a moment, just about 1 minute, of what you intend to do and how you intend to strategize to be that conservative voice on the board to make a change in Duval County.
Well, I intend to be strong in my beliefs and in what God would have me to raise, how He would want me to raise my children, how He would want me to help raise other people's children. I want principals in our schools to not just pass kids out of our schools just to keep the numbers flowing, just to make them look good, which is what they're doing. Now we have a high graduation rate, but we're putting kids out on the street that are not educated.
Yes.
So,
Brother
Dunn,
very quickly, before
that.
Our broadcast is over, tell people how they can reach you to become involved.
You can reach me, my website, voteforDonRedmond.com is my email, DonRedmond@att.net, or you can call me on my cell phone, 626-9307. Answer my phone anytime somebody calls.
Amen. So, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issue.
10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.